Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God selected from the letter to the Hebrews this evening is in chapter 13, reading verses 10 to 16. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. This is the word of our Lord. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Those Jews who rejected Jesus as the promised Messiah clung to the sacrifices and rituals of the Old Covenant. And they opposed those Jews who believed in Jesus and had forsaken the old ways. One of their main arguments, apparently against the Jewish Christians, was that they had no altar of sacrifice. The altar of sacrifice was where the blood was offered for the forgiveness of sins. And so they were really making the point to these Jewish Christians, how can there be a sacrifice for sin when you don't have any altar for burnt offerings? In this portion of the letter, the author answers that argument and says, you are wrong. We do have a place where blood is offered for the forgiveness of sins. We do have a great altar of sacrifice. That altar is, of course, the cross. Remember, we call the sacrament of the altar? We call it that not because we put the sacrament on the altar, but it's the blood of the new covenant that Jesus offered on the altar of his cross. Atonement was made for us on the cross, that great altar, by the shedding of Jesus' blood. And so this evening we look at Jesus' cross in the light of that Old Testament altar of burnt offerings and see that Jesus, our great high priest, serves at a great altar. We believe in that altar. We bear the reproach of that altar. And we bring our sacrifices to that altar. When any Israelite approached the temple, or earlier, the tabernacle, one of the very first things that he or she would see in front of the temple or tabernacle was the altar for burnt offerings. God had given the command for its construction. Was about 7.5 feet square, about 4.5 feet tall. It was not unlike a big grill. There was constantly fire burning in that altar of sacrifice. And for the sacrifices, the priest would bring the animals, and they would drain the blood out of the animal, and then they would burn the animal's carcass on that altar of burnt offering as a gift to the Lord. That altar was really the focal point of Jewish worship for 1,000 years. Remember, the people never went in the temple. They never went in the tabernacle like we go into church. Only the priests would do that. They would gather in the courtyard in the front of the temple, or the tabernacle. And there they would see the great altar of sacrifice on which the animals were burned. That altar had a great law message. The wages of sin is death. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But that altar also had a great gospel message too. That there is a substitute for you. Those animals shadowed or typified the perfect great sacrifice that the great high priest would one day make on the great altar of his cross. And so when the people saw that altar, they were made aware and conscious of their sins and the cost of those sins. But they were also made aware that someone else would be offered in their place. And by the shedding of his blood, that he would redeem them. But the rituals of the sacrifices, it wasn't always exactly the same. In most of the sacrifices, they would drain the blood, and then they would burn the carcasses of the dead animals on the altar of burnt offering, and the smoke would go up to the Lord. But not on the Day of Atonement. Then it was different. After the high priest would sacrifice the blood of a bull for his sins and the sins of his family, and then offer the blood of goats for the sins of the people, they wouldn't burn the carcasses, but they would gather them up and take them outside of the city walls, outside of Jerusalem. And there they would burn them. There they would consume the dead bodies. And that was a picture for the people, particularly on the Day of Atonement, of the removal of their sins from them. That God was taking away, removing their sins and their guilt. The writer to the Hebrews references that and then applies it to Christ. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. Besides the burning of the carcasses and the other sacrifices, some of the meat was set aside for the priests to eat. But again, on the Day of Atonement, that was not done. The priests were not allowed to eat any of the meat that was left over because it was all taken outside the city. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering. He would take the blood and go behind the curtain, sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. But the bodies are burned outside the camp. Nothing was eaten. Nothing was burned on the altar. It was all taken outside the walls of the city. And here the writer says, we have an altar like that, where someone was taken outside of the city. And there was killed. There was sacrificed after he had shed his blood for us. And that took place on Jesus' cross. There the Old Testament Day of Atonement was brought to complete fulfillment. The writer wrote, Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Remember where Jesus carried his cross? Outside of the city. Outside the walls of the old city. Because they did not crucify inside the city limits. The place of the skull, Golgotha in Aramaic, Calvary in Latin. Calvary is the Latin word for skull, just like Golgotha is the word for skull. The animals were burned outside of the camp, and there the cross of Christ was placed, where our great high priest on that great altar offered up his body and his blood for our sins. On the altar of Jesus' cross, Jesus shed his blood and offered up his life as our substitute. And so we come believing in that cross, believing that we are sinners and that the wages of our sin is our death. There is no greater preaching of the law than Jesus' cross. But there's no greater preaching of the gospel either, because Jesus is there and not me. Jesus is there as my substitute, taking my place under God's wrath and punishment. It is on that great altar of the cross that God the Father assures you and me that our high priest offered that holy sacrifice once and for all sinners. The writer of the Hebrews then goes on, "Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore." And this is the second message of that altar of the cross of Jesus outside Jerusalem. Jesus' enemies, even though they did not have the right of capital punishment, so despised Jesus that they handed him over for the Roman punishment of crucifixion. So horrible that no Roman by law could be crucified. It was reserved for only the most vilest criminals that they would be crucified on crosses, but always outside of the city. And so the Jews, by handing Jesus over for Roman crucifixion, testified to just how much they hated Jesus, to just how much they rejected him as the Messiah, to place him under the death of that shameful tree. And so the writer to the Hebrews urges us, who bear his name, who follow him as his disciples, to go out to him, to be there with him, to share in the being despised and being rejected that he went through. You know that when we follow Christ, when we follow his word and his will, that we Christians are often despised and rejected by men, just as Jesus was. To confess Christ as a Jew at this time meant to be ostracized completely from your people. Just like Jesus was put outside the city, like the altar or like the sacrifices were burned on the Day of Atonement outside the city, these believing Jews were put outside of the nation of Israel, put outside their family and their friends and their people because of their belief in Christ. And so the writer endures us to endure this scorn as Jesus did and as they did, and as he urges them, "Let us then go to him." Again, not just go to him to feel sorry for him, but go to him and be like him. To willingly endure that rejection and that scorning. To be willing to give up. To be ostracized from this world because of our confession and faith in Christ. And then he goes on and answers the question, why should we do that? Because all of that rejection and all of that being despised takes place in this world that is passing by quickly. That's only temporary. And so he then says, here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. In Christ, we have the enduring city of the kingdom of glory. We have a place in the enduring city of heaven. And so he says, let us go to Christ now, outside of this world. Let us go and be with Christ and endure that shame. Endure the crosses that the world will place on us. Because Jesus knew that it was only temporary. Jesus knew that after his death, his Father was going to give him an enduring city. A city that he always possessed as God, but now he would possess also as a true human being, as a believer in God, as one who trusted in his Father. And so Jesus awaited that enduring city and bore that shame and that disgrace, not only so that he would have it, but so we would have it. And we have that waiting for us in the future. We have a great altar. The cross of Christ, our guarantee of that enduring city of heaven. And in the meantime, he closes with one more thought, and that is of our still bringing sacrifices. Now, in Old Testament days, a person would give thanks and praise to God for blessings received by bringing to God sacrifices. Sometimes they were those animal sacrifices that were burned. Sometimes they were sacrifices of wine. Sometimes they were sacrifices of grain. But the people would bring those sacrifices of praise to God. Sacrifices of doing good and of sharing with others. God says, that hasn't stopped. Burning animals day after day, time after time, on that altar of burnt offerings is useless now, because Christ, the great high priest, on that great altar, offered his own blood, offered himself. But we, as his people, who go to him and share his shame and disgrace, still offer him our sacrifices of praise. He writes, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So we bring, when we sing, when we do the liturgy, when we glorify God with our prayers, we are offering that fruit of our lips, of those who profess his name. And God is pleased with that when we offer that praise. But then we also do good and share with others. Someone suggested the example of the Christians in Philippi, who, when Paul began his work among them, his mission work among them, that they supported him. And even when he left, they still supported him in the mission work that he was doing other places. And so our sacrifices also to that great high priest include your support and mine of the gospel work that we do together, of sharing that great high priest with the world, of sharing that altar on which he sacrificed himself for the sins of the world. Our great high priest serves at the great altar of his cross. Jesus' cross is that altar. Come to that altar. Come to that altar believing its message. Come bearing its disgrace. And come offering the sacrifices of praise. Amen.